When teaching and preaching God's Word, it's important to present the whole counsel of God's Word. Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a Bible sermon entitled, All the Counsel of God. When you think about God's Word, it's wonderful to know that we have a Bible that is so big as it is. God didn't just give us one sentence. He could have done that and said, I got one word to give you and you got to go on that. That would be more than we would ever deserve. But God has given us so much more than that. He's given us, like the children of Israel had in the Old Testament, they had what is called manna. And manna was a well-balanced, all-rounded diet. And God gave them that every day. They had this well-balanced diet. They went out there and they gathered it up and they prepared it, and this bread of heaven. And then God sent the true bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, who came to the world to give his life for the sins of the world. And he is the bread of heaven. We're talking about all the counsel of God, because just like the children of Israel had manna in the Old Testament in the wilderness, we have the Word of God that gives us an all-around balanced diet. Paul addresses the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, and he urges them to follow his example of humble service to God and warns them against false prophets. That's what chapter 20 is about if you read it. And these false prophets, he describes them as wolves who enter in to destroy the flock and draw away disciples after themselves. Then, after he gets through talking to them, he bids them farewell, knowing that he would not see them anymore. This was an agonizing parting and separation, and they were brokenhearted about it. He said, you'll not see my face anymore. And they allowed that to overshadow the message that he was trying to give them. It is an example for us that we must not allow the grief or circumstances at hand to overshadow or take away from the effectiveness of the power or end result of the intended message. So we cannot allow the circumstances around us to take away from the effectiveness of God's Word. Jesus told the Pharisees, Mark chapter 7, your traditions, the elders, the traditions have made the Word of God of none effect. It's not that there was anything wrong with God's Word, but because of their traditions, they had gone more by their traditions and had made the Word of God of none effect. So we have to be careful that all the counsel of God is presented. Because if you don't present all the counsel of God, then you'll have a one-sided message. It will either be shallow, it'll have praise, but it won't have doctrine. Or it'll be stilted. It'll have doctrine and teaching, but there'll be no praise. There'll be no excitement. And it has to have both praise and worship and doctrine. And it has to be based on the old covenant, the foundation of the old covenant. But we're focusing on the new covenant, because you cannot live as a Christian with an old covenant mentality. You've got to have the newness of life. You've got to have the freshness. You cannot put this new wine in old bottles. You've got to have new wineskins, new bottles, so you can put new drink in there. All the counsel of God is sometimes called the entire counsel of God, or the whole counsel of God's Word. God gives us a Bible. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us everything we need to have a well-balanced diet. You got your steak and your taters, and you got some beans, and you got your vegetables, you've got dessert, you've got everything you need, and a good cup of Joe to go with it. So God gives you everything you need. When all the counsel of God is presented, we can be assured of knowing that the flock or church of God will be fed with a well-balanced diet, a foundation in history from the Old Covenant, and practical teaching and preaching designed to conform believers to the image of Christ, emphasized in the New Covenant for the new creation. The new covenant is for the new creation, And the new creation, we're not talking about the new creation of the making of the new heavens and new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Rather, we're talking about the here and now, the born-again experience of being new creatures in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. God wants us to live, and he wants us to flourish in this new creation. And we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what it's about. It's good to talk about Moses. It's good to talk about David. Good to talk about Hezekiah and all these people in the Old Testament. But you cannot stay there. You've got to focus on Christ. And even if you're talking about Moses, Moses said, "The Lord will send you another prophet like me, and you will hear him. You will listen to him." Moses was talking about Jesus. God would send Jesus into the world, and he would be the one to whom we would listen. He would be the one to fulfill the old covenant. He fulfilled the law. He is the end of law for righteousness to those who believe. Christ is the fulfillment of the word of God. All the counsel of God involves doctrine and experience. So you got to have both. You got to have doctrine to teach. You got to have a foundation. It's got to be based on something. You got to have something to hold on to. Got to have a rock. If you don't, as we can see right lately, you'll be washed away in the water. You got to have a rock. You've got to have a foundation on which to stand. But you also got to have experience. The counsel of God's word and religion and Christianity is a whole lot better than religion, but it's exciting. It's experience. Salvation is not just taught, but it's experienced. Sanctification is not just taught, but it is experienced. We experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We experience healing. We experience the blessing of God. It includes salvation, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine healing, and anticipation and readiness for the rapture and second coming of Christ. It's all involved. The counsel of God's word, all the counsel of God. The main focus is to be on the person of Christ, the blood and the cross. We have to preach the blood. The blood saves from sin. The blood washes the vilest sinner clean. It's the blood that sanctifies and gives you a holy heart. The blood, plead the blood of Jesus against every demon, against every disease, against everything and the power of darkness that tries to come against us. It's the cross. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Preaching of the cross. I will cherish the old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. And we preach Christ. We preach him crucified. We preach the cross. So here in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, "I kept back nothing that was profitable to you." Preachers have to preach so that people can be blessed, and don't keep back anything that would be profitable to the body of Christ. When you read the book of Job in the Old Testament, the friends of Job had a lot of good things to say, but the only problem was none of it applied to Job. It was a lot of good stuff in there, but all their counsel they gave, most of it was not applicable to him at all. And so the same way could be said about preachers today. They preach a good message if you'd put it in an ivory tower somewhere, but is it relevant? Does it speak to our world at hand? Does it speak to us where we are? We can talk about the importance of paying tithes. We can talk about the importance of going to church, but situations are that you can't even get into church. You can't even get into the building. And so you can talk about going to church all you want to, but you cannot get there. It's relevant. Preaching and teaching, it can be relevant or irrelevant. God's word never changes, and it speaks to every generation. He said, "I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you," not just told you. You know, they say, "You don't do what I do, do what I say do." Well, that's not good enough. It's not good enough in parenting. It's not good enough in preaching. You have to show by example of living. He said, "I have showed you and I have taught you publicly," that is in the church, in the public places, and also from house to house, teaching and preaching, telling you about the Lord Jesus. I have showed you and I have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, repentance toward God. That is, you get right with God, you get saved, and it's repentance toward God. But it's also faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is a life of faith. It is a life of repentance. And when you repent, you don't just keep on repenting and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You serve God. You walk in newness of life. You follow Jesus Christ. And it's repentance toward God, but also faith toward Christ. God is a faith God. We live a Christian life of faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And God is pleased with faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 27 and 28, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You've got to take heed to yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. If we're overseers of the flock, it's the Holy Ghost who has put us in this position. Not just the ordaining council, not just the church board, but the Holy Spirit. He puts men and women and people there to preach God's word. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves, to all the flock, and the church is tenderly called a flock here, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Not bleed the church of God, but feed the church of God. What are you going to feed them? Just like the children of Israel had in the Old Testament. We are going to feed them the word of the living God that lives and abides forever. The word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. All the counsel of God. Not just what I like. Not just what makes people feel good. But it's all the counsel of God. And when you preach all the counsel of God, you don't have to worry. You think about all the counsel of God. It's a big assignment, a big task to say that I have preached all the counsel of God. How in the world can you do it? You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. You have to know His heart. You have to hear His voice. And He leads you and guides you. Sometimes I even say, how in the world are they listening to the same Holy Spirit I am? They're way out here in left field somewhere. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to teach and to preach. You can use any verse in the Bible, but you can take it out of context. You can say, Judas went and hung himself. Go and do thou likewise. Well, it's all in the Bible, but it's certainly not in context. It's not in the right way. We have to interpret God's word in the right way. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. And He says, feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus gave His blood to purchase a church, a bride unto Himself, and we're to feed the church of God. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I commend you to God. I can preach, I can teach, I can show by example, and I can pray with people, but after a while, you just have to commit them to God. That's the way you do your children. That's the way you do your grandchildren. You just have to commit them to God. You have to leave them into the hands of God because God is able to take care of them. When you've done all you can do, that's all you can do. And then you just present them to God. Just like He said here, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. God's word will build you up. God's word, rightly divided and rightly presented, will not put you down. It will build you up. Now, if you're living in sin, if you're a sinner, it will convict you. It'll get a hold of you. Every one of us have been convicted of our sins. But if you're right with God, God's word will build you up. It will help you up. It will lift you up. And it will cause you to be encouraged. God's word is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified, not focusing on getting Cadillacs and bank accounts and big things down here in this world. It can be washed away with the flood, as you see, and we cannot focus on that. It's all right to have things. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But we cannot lay up treasures down here on this earth for ourselves. We have to lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. The word of God's grace is able to build us up and to give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And then verse 36, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Sometimes when you've done all you can do, you've said all you can say, you don't know what to say anymore, you just have to kneel down and have a little talk with Jesus. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. And he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Brothers and sisters can help you. They can hold your hand. They can teach and train and preach. Most of all, we can pray together about things we face, no matter what it is. Thank God somebody prayed for me. You can have somebody to help you to pray. Yet sooner or later, every believer should be expected to have their own personal standing and relationship with God. As long as we are constantly depending on the faith and spiritual life of others, we will not be in a position to serve or help others and help other people. As long as you're depending on someone else all the time, you'll always be in a position to where you're going to be slow. You're not going to be in a position to help other people. Paul never wanted spiritual parasites, but rather powerhouses for God. We don't need spiritual parasites. We need powerhouses for God. All the counsel of God is presented in such a way to help believers to grow. And that's why God gives us what we call the fivefold ministry. He has set some in the church, apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 what it's for. The work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in the unity of the faith, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A mature, a complete person, not carried about with every wind of doctrine, and scattered here and there and thrown about. But we're anchored in the rock of ages. We're presented with all the counsel of God. He said, I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. It's important that all of the Bible is preached. It's important that all of the Bible is taught. It's important that all of the Bible is believed. And we don't want to be a spiritual tick, a spiritual parasite, hanging on to others, always having to call others. It's good to call brothers and sisters to pray with us, but they can't pray for us. Really, we have to pray for ourselves, and we have to be in a position so we can be a blessing, we can receive a blessing, and we can also be a blessing to others. If you think about Wigglesworth and John G. Lake and Kuhlman and McPherson and all these names you could call that's involved in Pentecost and the healing ministry, Charles Parham and William Seymour, just pick up the names you want and go back as far as you want to go, even John Wesley, people before them. If you think about them, they received something from God, and then they passed it on to others. Jesus told the disciples, freely you have received, freely give. Many of these men and women were in dire situations themselves. They were sick. They were at the point of death, and God healed them. And miraculously, and you know what they did? They were raised up and they had great healing ministries. Wigglesworth was used by the Lord. He almost died, but he was used by the Lord in the great healing ministry. Dr. Summerall, Lester Summerall, he was shown a vision. You got a coffin and you got a Bible. Which one do you want? And of course he said, I'll take the Bible. I'll preach. And he didn't want to. He didn't like people. He even told them, I don't like you, you stink. But God used him in a great way. And many times, God will take people like you and I, who were no counts and nobodies, and we were sick and about to die, and he raises us up, and he uses us for his power and his glory. And that's what it's all about. Look at Paul. Saul, he thought he had everything, and he did. But he was a nobody. He was lost without God. He was wretched. He was kicking against the pricks. He was persecuting the body of Christ, doing everything he could to try to destroy the Christian. God said, you've done enough. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I'm going to show you how great things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. But Paul the apostle was used as the apostle of the Gentiles, and he reached multitudes and is still reaching multitudes for Jesus Christ. He wrote most of the books of the New Testament, and what a mighty way in which he was used. He presented all the counsel of God's word. And that's what you and I are to do. We're to present all the counsel of God. And may we continue to present all the counsel of God. Reach this world and this generation for Jesus Christ. It's going to take more than just a little dabble, do you? Glory, hallelujah. It's going to take more than just a Sunday morning Christian religion. You got to have the whole counsel of God's word. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have the power of God. You got to have something that'll do you when you're dying and it'll help you when you're living. You got to have all the counsel of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to bring God's word to your people. Thank you for the Zoom room technology. Thank you for the audio that you've given us, the opportunity to present your word to the world. And may it touch many lives and people today. May people be blessed and saved, and may Christians be blessed with the all-around balanced counsel of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible sermon entitled All the Counsel of God. Tony Broom Ministries desires to present the whole counsel of God's word. I invite you to listen to our ministry broadcasts and sessions in the Zoom room, also on the ministry blog and podcast page, and the YouTube channel. All these links can be found from www.tonybroom.com. Make sure that Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.